Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So today we're talking about family conflict and maybe how to take the edge off as you fight in home. So we're in a sermon series that's called Ideal Family. This is the last of the sermon series of messages we've preached now four, including today. And you say, well, my family, we don't fight. My wife and I, we don't fight. I have no problems with my kids. You're lying right now. You are lying. Every family has its challenges. Every family will disagree. And sometimes people will even fight. And we're going to talk about family conflict and conflict in the home. Gary Spence, in his book, wrote this. This is the title of his book, How to Argue and Win Every Time. At home, at work, in court, everywhere, every day. You know, I believe that you can argue and win and be successful in some aspects of life. For example, if you are fighting a parking ticket because the meter in Philadelphia stopped working, has anyone experienced that, right? You can write a letter or go to court and fight it and win, and you might be justified. There's a place to argue and to fight, and you high-five your friend. In football, if maybe your team feels like the referee made a mistake, your coach can throw the red flag in the middle, and they can look it in the booth, and all of a sudden you get 15 yards in your favor, you kick the field goal, and you win, and your team is excited because they make the playoffs. There's a time for that. In debate class, that's high school. You can argue and fuss and kind of win. But I'm going to tell you right now, in the home, even though you win an argument, you always don't win. If you're fighting in the bedroom, in the family room, in the kitchen, you say, well, I'm going to show my wife that I really know, and you're smarter than her, you may win the argument, but you're going to lose that argument at the same time. Family conflict is real. And I just believe that conflict in the home, even though you win, you don't always win. We need God to teach us how to take that edge off. Now, let me just say this. I said this in week number one. God loves you, and he loves your family. Even if your family is not how it needs to be or should be, or not even serving God, God really loves you, has a plan for each one of the people in your home, and God wants to, just like the word we have, wants to breathe in hope, encouragement, and compassion, and he wants to do something wonderful today around the altars on Wednesday nights when we join together in prayer. God believes in you. God believes through the person of Jesus Christ for our future, for your life. And I want to tell you something too. Even if you feel really down and discouraged, you say, oh man, Pastor, you're talking about the family. Now I even feel worse about myself. I came to church to get a word. I want to tell you that this message of hope is not to condemn you, to push you down, but my wife and I, we also love you. So even if you're hurting and broken and say, I just need God, I need his help, my family, my kids are all messed up, no one's serving the Lord in my family, I don't know what's happened to my home or what's going on, I want to tell you, you've come to a good place today to hear God's word and let God come and just minister in your life. We love you. Now, with that being said, as a way of introduction, let me say this, let me make a statement. As long as you blame others for your unhappiness, you will always be unhappy. Let me say that again. As long as you blame others for your unhappiness, you will always be unhappy. If you give your happiness to somebody else, things can change in a moment, and all of a sudden you are going to be unhappy. You have to take personal responsibility for your own joy, for your own peace, and for your own happiness. So, Thompson, let's say you're my boss. I go to work for you. You hire me. I'm making good money. So I'm going to say, as long as I'm making that money, he gives me 4 weeks vacation, insurance, I can work from home, everything's good, we're happy. But what happens if his boss comes to you and says, hey, we have to downsize. You're not allowed to work from home anymore. You're not going to get quite as much 401k. If I've given him my happiness, now I'm no longer happy. I'm mad at him. He's taken away my joy. He's a jerk. He didn't keep his promise. Now I'm mad. I'm miserable. My wife, she's good. I married her in a certain way, but now everything's changed. You say, I'm angry because of her. She's not cooking the way she was supposed to cook. Things are falling apart. I'm not happy. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to blame everybody else for your happiness, you're going to be a miserable person the rest of your life. Your happiness has nothing to do with everybody else. You say, well, you don't know my kids. And you sure don't know my husband. He is making me miserable. He's not even saved. I wish he would step up and be the spiritual leader of my home, and he's making me miserable. I'm just telling you right now, if you're looking for other people to make you happy, you'll never be happy. What I'm talking to you is about something supernatural that's inside of you that has nothing to do with other people. In the book of James, it talks about what's happening on the inside and where problems and conflict really start. James chapter 4, this is our scripture for this morning. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Some of you fought on the way to church today. She made you late again. That's why you have to get two cars. You got to get two cars. No, I'm just joking. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? No. I'm angry at my wife. My kids won't listen to me. They don't show me respect. No, the Bible says this. Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You are fighting. There's family conflict because what's happening? You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, on yourself. You say, John, there's a problem that's happening inside of me. I'm not a happy person. When Trump got elected, I got mad. When Barack Obama got elected, I was mad. You know what the Bible says? That's not Trump or Barack Obama's fault. That's your problem. My wife did not do what she said she was going to do. My husband did not keep his vows. My husband's not the spiritual leader. My kids are rebellious. I'm angry. I'm mad. Well, you're unhappy because of something inside of you. People don't necessarily make you unhappy. It's what's happening that's deep down inside of your heart. So when there's a conflict and there's a fight, there's something you could actually say to yourself right before you're about to fight, when you feel the steam rising, when they get on your last nerve. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You feel that coming. You feel that coming. Here it is. You know what part of the problem is here? I'm not getting what I want. That's why conflict arises. When my wife and I were starting dating, every weekend she would drive 2 hours to Reading, Pennsylvania. So when we got married, we drove to Reading, Pennsylvania every weekend. I was starting to get mad. I don't want to drive to Reading, Pennsylvania every weekend. I could feel something rising up in me. Listen, there's going to be things that are going to bother the dickens out of you. There's going to be things about your wife, your spouse, your kids that are going to irritate you to the day you die. The question is, am I right? Like, why does he have to leave his bowl of cereal right there every time? And can't he put away his wet towel after he gets out of the shower? Things moldy and, and you're like, I wish you'd wear more makeup. I mean, we could fight to the day that we're dead. That is kind of what happens. But there's something that, before you start yelling and blaming and accusing and cussing and cursing, you say, what's the difference? Cussing is south, north, cursing. Before you start doing all that, what is happening inside of me? Why am I so upset? Why am I not getting what I want right now, and I'm now mad at you? Let me explain how this works in church world. We built a field house, and it's been the best thing. Like yesterday, there was a pancake breakfast. The firemen, the chief ward, and what's it called? Not Kiwanis Club. Rotary Club and the Yellow Ribbon Club. All these different people were there. Spoke in tongues a little bit right there. Didn't mean to do that. You might think this is easy, but I already did this once already, 9 o'clock. Anyway, all these wonderful people. Carly Lord, youth groups blowing up, all these offices and everything. But 2 years ago, I brought this to the congregation. I knew this was not going to be a slam dunk. Soccer field? Why do we need a soccer field? What's that do with Jesus? And I get it. I get it. If I said, hey, listen, the church is growing. We just need some more seats because your neighbors, your friends, everyone buy a seat for $200. That's an easier slam dunk. I mean, you can get that. That's what churches do. You know, there's more chairs. Let's build out. Soccer field. It costs a lot of money. And I could feel it. Now, listen. I'm not mad at you if you didn't vote for it or whatever. I understand we're not all going to see it. But here's the reality. Somebody's got to be in charge, right? And so what you could actually do is get mad at me. That's what happens in churches. Most churches are 200 and under, and there's influencers, there's like important people in the church, and somebody says, I'm not getting what I want. This, I don't like this field house. Or I don't like that the Royal Ranger boys are coming into the preschool classroom and they're having class and it mixes everything up and then we have to come in the next day and the preschool is all messed up. And what happens, you feel tension in churches when people don't get what they want. If you've ever been in a church, you know that there's tension and conflict because someone says, it could be like this. Some of the older people, they have a room, they meet together, it's nice, you know, there's plums there, it's nice. And then the young people, why do these young people have to do it? And you feel that conflict. There's conflict all over. And oftentimes in a church, because it's small, somebody will kind of go like this, I don't like this. And what has to happen, listen, if you don't like the field house, I get it. But let me just say something like this. I'm not here generally as a pastor to try to make everybody happy. The hope would be that we're trying to satisfy and make Jesus happy. Because the moment everybody starts saying, well, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, it is something that's inside of us. Listen, you might not like the music here. You might not. Generally, it's good. It blesses us. But it just might not be you. I get it. But my goal is not, you know, I can't please everybody, right? And you say, well, I don't like your shirt. I don't care. I mean, could you imagine if I had to bring a shirt out, everybody, how many of you like this? Okay, I can wear it. There's an old adage, survey everything, vote on nothing. If you had to turn every, churches that vote on everything, they're dead. You actually have to teach people, family members, church people, listen, there's a greater good here. And we're trying to serve God and the kingdom of God. And we have to do what's right. And with that will come conflict. And there will be problems. And there might be someone who doesn't get recognized. And someone might be upset. And there might be, Jesus had these troubled people around him. But at some point, it's not about you. Fathers, listen to me. You set the tone in your home. So I'm learning. I don't know the Bible. I don't understand Pastor John. I'm new here. I don't know what it means to be a man of God, to lead my home. Listen, you set the tone. You set the tone with your attitude, and you take personal responsibility. So let's say, like, you feel like your wife is, like wrong, right? Let's bring up this being late thing, because this happens to everybody. So you're sitting in the driveway this morning, and you're just laying on the horn. I'm just gonna lay on the horn until she gets out here. She's got two kids, 5 and 3, and then another one that's just born, and she's changing the diapers. Well, she better hurry up. Doesn't she know how important this is? Can you feel the conflict? I'm gonna show her. If I just keep laying on this horn, she'll hear it, and she'll speed up. Not gonna happen. So she finally gets in the car, straps up. You're just acting like a jerk. You're not caring about her. Her responsibility is nothing. And you get to church. You're playing the quiet game. You know what the quiet game is? I'm not going to talk. You got K-Love on. You're like, And you get to church, Pastor Sean are doing their thing, every day with you, Lord. And you start like singing, you know. And then all of a sudden it starts slowing down. I exalt thee. And then you start feeling the conviction of God. You're like, oh man, I can't be fighting with my wife. Ever felt that? You felt like this conviction? And you lean over to your wife, you start, I'm sorry for making your life so miserable. Have you ever felt like you were trying to worship God? You're like, I just got to ask for forgiveness. My first 15 years of marriage, every spiritual service, oh, Miriam, I'm sorry for blowing it. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. Like, you can't worship God and have that conviction. You ever seen that? You just feel miserable. I'm such a phony. I'm such a hypocrite. No, keep it. Now, this is what happens. This is what happens. I'm trying to show this to you. So you lean over and say, I'm so sorry. And she goes, but then, this is where we mess up, men, you say, but I wouldn't have been upset if you weren't so late. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? So now you're blaming her for your misery. What does every family need? It needs somebody as quick as you can to bring grace and forgiveness and hope and healing right to that marriage or that relationship, that kid. So listen, men. Even if you are 5% wrong, if you'll take ownership for that 5% and get to it right away, say, honey, listen, I don't know who is more percentage wrong, whatever, but I know I was wrong. I think it's only 5% because you do. Then you know what your wife will do? Like, then you're not really sorry. You're not really sorry. No. Because if you're just trying to one-up all the time, you're going to be in trouble. Conversations start going like this. This is where it gets really intense. You know, I don't even know why I married you in the first spot. Or you say something like this, why can't you be like more like your father? And you start saying, well, you know what, if you don't want to be with me, you start sleeping like this, then that person goes downstairs. You're like, and you start fighting back and forth. Where is the person that will come in there and say, you know what, we need more than anything else, we just need the grace and the mercy of God. Because I found this, that when you fight, if you don't want to lose, that person's going to come right back on top and try to fight. And it's just a matter of who's going to one up and how many harsh words are going to say. And then you get in the car, and you go to the car wash, you're going through there, and you put the windows down on her side, and she doesn't like that. I mean, it gets become a mess. Look what James chapter 4, verse 2 says. You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you do not get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You say, what is actually happening? That's a hyperbole. That is not, you really kill somebody. It's an exaggerated statement. You say things, and you bring destruction, and you kill with your words. You say things that you should never, ever say. You belittle one another. You talk about their looks or what they don't do right. You shame your kids or you have these too high expectations. I believe this with all my heart, the Marlton, South Jersey area. You only play JV and you're mad at yourself. You wanted to be a professional athlete. So you go to the game and you watch your kid out there. And your kid's not getting enough playing time, so you start getting mad at the coach. You start cursing at the referee. Yeah. Put my kid in. And then what really intensifies it, you're sitting there next to your neighbor. You have a 3-bedroom house, they have a 4-bedroom. You have a pool, but it's above ground. They have one that's in ground, and they have a slide. Their kid is better than your kid, and there's something that's inside of you that wants your kid to do better than their kid. You want your kid, it's your kid. My kids are not turning out that way. And you put, my kids are going to be doctors and lawyers and nurses. And you push that down on them and they feel that. My kids, and you spend all this money for personal training and all that stuff, and the kids aren't that good at sports. It's okay, they just don't have to be. and you force it upon them. My kid is going to be a professional athlete. My kid, and you make them, and all of a sudden you feel this tension in the home, and they go up to their bedroom and they're on their phone. Why is that happening? Because they don't want to be around you. That's not how God created them. That's not how God created you. And we put all this pressure. What would happen if your son or daughter worked with their hands? They want to be a great carpenter or a mechanic. You say, well, that's not how you make money. Not my kid. You're going to go to the best college. You put all this pressure. Listen, if your kid wants to stay home and go to a two-year mechanical school and go to Burlington County, moms and dads, let me just tell you this. It costs almost $50,000 a year. Burlington, $7,000. Let them go to county college. Right? I mean, that's right. All the parents are like, yeah. The goal is to bring grace. The goal is to bring Jesus. The goal is to bring forgiveness. When someone messes up, you cover. I'm just telling you, most of the times in my relationship with my wife, I'm usually the first one to say I'm sorry. Because first of all, I don't have enough time to listen, I'm sorry. I messed up. And the more I try to antagonize on top of it or tell her what she did wrong, it just doesn't work. Someone has to bring grace and forgiveness to the home because it's inside of you. Some of you just don't want to lose. You're committed to fighting. You're good at fighting. You never lose an argument. And the Lord says, would you stop killing those relationships around you? And you try to justify, especially with your kids, you justify it. You say, well, you yell at your kids, I just want what's best for you. No, you don't. You just want something because it makes you feel about them. I just want you to be the spiritual leader of the home and it makes them feel worse than he already feels. I just want you to be like the other ladies of the church. Ooh, that doesn't make them feel good. I want to tell you deep inside. You say, well, John, that's just not fair. I want to talk to you about fairness for a second. The only time it was fair was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, and they were naked, not ashamed, they were with God. And the Bible says they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin came in. The Bible says if you'll eat from that, you will die. God gave them grace. They didn't die right away. But every time me and you sin, we deserve to die. Do you know that, right? The wages of sin is death. So if you have a lustful thought, you do something wrong, you lie, you steal, whatever you do, at that moment, you should die. But God gives you grace. He covers you with his blood. There is nothing fair. You say, John, I'm a single mom, and I'm pulling the load here, and he's making my life mad, and you're mad. Listen, it's not probably him. There's something that has to happen deep inside where Jesus comes and gives you grace and healing because your joy, your happiness will never be from somebody else and blaming somebody else. It'll always be, Lord, would you come and teach my heart, help my heart, to be touched by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Now verse 2 says it like this. You do not have because you do not ask God. You don't pray about it. You don't come to prayer service. You don't come to an altar. So you have marriage problems. You're like, I'm going to a counselor. And you spend all this money. And the counselor talks about, oh yeah, you guys should get divorced. I'm hearing more and more people go and find people, family, friends, and they're telling people to run farther away. God doesn't try to get you to run farther away. He tries to get you not to think only about yourself, but how to serve. I'm telling you, the counselors out there today, they're just kind of like out there. But the Bible says pray. And you know what I found about praying? Praying usually changes your own heart. Have you ever noticed that? You say, John, you don't understand. My husband, he just sits there on the couch all day. You know, when he has problems, he has alcohol. Oh, my wife, you know what she does on a snow day? You know what she does? She makes me order pizza, and she sits there with Hallmark Channel, and I don't want to do it. And you go back and forth. But deep down inside of the heart, there's something that happens. Say, Lord, I'm going now to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for my husband. I'm going to pray for my wife. Lord, my kids aren't doing good, and the Bible says, why don't you pray for them? Because when you pray for them, something wonderful happens inside of your heart. God speaks to you about your heart, about what you need to do, and God changes your heart. That's why we're having a prayer service. We're calling on the Lord, and you take time, and don't pray at your wife. Like this. This is how some people pray. They set the agenda. Lord, make my wife more submissive to me. You're not praying for her. You're praying what you want. You just want what you want. Lord, help my husband to take the leadership of my home. Lord, tell him just to step up. Then tell him, Lord, have him clean up his mess. And Lord, we need some work done around the house. And you're pushing onto him what you want. Lord, I'm praying for my family. Would you bring out the best in my wife? Would you bring out the best in my kids? Help me not have an agenda for them or push my will on them, but Lord, your will be done in their life. God will supernaturally change your heart, change your life when you do that. You say that to him, say, Lord, that's what I need to do. So here's the statement. You know what the part of the problem is here? I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I want. So who's the real question is now, what do I want? What do I want? Well, if I'm a man, I want a certain money. I want respect. I want control over my kids and my wife. I want, and anything that you don't get, you're going to have an internal problem. I have this with my own kids. Listen, I have three daughters. There's a difference between boys and girls. I sit there at sports games. I have a 12-year-old at a girls' basketball game. I'm sitting there, and there's something that rises up in me, and I want her to make every shot. And I'm like, make the shot! And I'm like, what am I doing? Is it because I want to make the shot? Is it because I didn't make the NBA? What is happening to me? I'm telling you, after sports games, for whatever reason, what we have in our hearts, we want to talk to our kids right away about it. The best thing is to let it go. It's hard. You're like, well, why didn't you cut hard on the back pick? Because you would have had, I mean, you have it all right here. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because you have something in your heart. Say, Lord God, change my heart. You know what's happening right now in America? That maybe half the country hates Trump. So what do? Not my president. Not my president. I didn't vote for him. Not my president. We got some crazy people take it to the streets. Other people love Trump. And there's tension and problems everywhere. Is there anybody that rushes to the front and says, you know what? Whether I voted for him or not, he is our president. And I'm not going to badmouth him, but I'm just going to kind of focus on Jesus because that's what God's called us to do. Like, I feel like saying, where's that person? Where's that coming from? Other people, like, hated Barack Obama, hated him. Like, why do you have hate? Why conflict? Why are you telling these jokes, these racial jokes? Why do you say this? What, are you saying it because there's something inside of you, you just don't like it? And it's deep down in our hearts, and it's all around us. There's this tension and this conflict, and you say, what is happening inside of me? I believe that word, Mike, that you said in the back, God is the one who gives peace. God is the one who gives happiness, because if you give your happiness to somebody else, and you point, that person's making me upset, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. The rest of your life. This is you? I don't like that. John, you don't understand who my boss is. He's a jerk. He's a racist. He's a racist. It's called we're living in the world. People are sinners. That's what sinners do. We're trying to make this nation like a Christian nation. It's not a Christian nation. You say, John, don't you see what I'm having to deal with? Some of you are already saying, like, my husband's not here. I wish he was here. He needs to be listening to you, Pastor John. And God's saying, what about you? What about you? You say, it's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair. But what causes quarrels amongst your own heart? It is you. So here's the last question. Here's the last question. This is what it is. Who is suffering because you are not getting your own way? There's men in this room. People are suffering right now because of you. I've caused damage to my family too. I've gotten mad at different stuff. Get all this frustration. Oh, please forgive me. You know how I know you can have happiness even though people around you are causing you difficulty? You remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? They took his beard out. They put a crown of thorns on him. He's naked. They beat him so bad you couldn't. He's so disfigured. You remember this? And what does Jesus do? He says, I forgive him. I forgive him. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7? He's proclaiming the word of God, giving them hope. They're stoning him. They're throwing stones at him. And Stephen looks up to heaven and says, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Your happiness will never be with somebody else. With your family, it would always be because of you. Lord God, would you teach me and heal me of my past? Would you touch me and heal me and give me grace for my future? I need your help. And God says, yes, I will do that. You'll have fertile heart. I'll come in. I'll teach you that you can be satisfied, joyful, and happy, and has nothing to do with what the world says. Some of you don't believe that. I'm only going to be happy if I have my wine, my TV show, the calendar goes my way, I get my vacation, my husband does this, my wife does that, if my kids are respectful, and you have all this stuff, and the moment doesn't happen, you burst, and there's conflict all around you. You curse, you get mad, you get frustrated, all these things are happening around you, and God says, I want you not to have that, but I want you to trust me and to believe me. Would you pray with me? This morning, there may be conflict in your home. There may be conflict in your heart. There may be conflict in your marriage. I know there's marriages that are on the rocks. There's 9 o'clock people that came to the altar holding hands. They need grace. They need mercy from Almighty God. The kids, grown children aren't serving God. They're stealing from you. They're stealing joy from you. They're killing vacations. They're killing Thanksgiving. It's a mess. You're hurting. You're broken. And the Lord pauses us today and says, I want to do something in your life. I want to change your heart. I want to interject grace and healing and forgiveness. I want to bless you. I want to touch you. You're a Republican and you hate Democrats. Democrats, you hate Republicans. You hate the poor because they're not doing their work and they're sucking out welfare. Or you're poor and you have a hard time making ends meet, and the rich, the top 1%, they should be doing more to help the bottom 99%, and it just kind of bothers you. You're mad and you're frustrated, you're angry, you have no peace, you have no joy, and you turn to the bottle, you turn to alcohol, to drugs and lust. And you have all this bad dysfunction happening in your heart, and God says, listen, would you let me speak to your heart and speak to your life? Let me heal you. Let me put joy and satisfaction, like that word that we heard today, not to the left or to the right, but you'll come to Jesus and let him heal you, let him touch you. This morning in God's house, he wants to do a supernatural work in your heart. You say, Pastor, what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. He's done it. Listen to his voice. Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And come, satisfy your heart. I'm going to minister in every grown man's life. You don't need to turn to alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography. You don't need to flirt with the receptionist. You can find satisfaction with the Lord and his grace. He can touch your heart, fulfill you deep in the heart. You don't have to sleep around just because you have a void in your heart. God can give you joy and peace. See, John, everyone's doing it. That's how everybody talks. The world is full of all this stuff, and it pulls us in. Oh, it does. But it doesn't satisfy. You get mad at people. An ex-friend, an ex-lover, an ex-spouse. Someone has abandoned you and hurt you. You have every right to be angry and frustrated and mad. Your stepdad did wrong. Your parents divorced when you were younger. You're broken and hurting, and you are going to not have the Lord come and touch you and heal you. And I want to tell you this morning that in God's house, he wants to do something wonderful inside of your heart and make you whole. Your happiness, those conflicts have nothing to do with them, has everything to do with you. Say, John, that doesn't sound right. Nothing's right. This world is hurting and broken. Only Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit, the great equalizer, comes and does what only he can do in your life. I've seen a lot of broken, hurting people, disadvantaged, swept under the rugs. The world pushed them aside. Not a lot of hope. They just give their life to Jesus. They put Jesus, they run to the cross, and God gives them a life. God gives them a hope and a future, and he touches them. So who's hurting today? Who's suffering today because of you? Because of you, whose life are you making miserable? You say, oh, Pastor, I just need to run to this altar. I need God to touch me. I need God to change me. I want God to make me the man he wants me to be. I want God to make me be the woman he wants me to be. Young people, run to an altar and say, I want to use my life not to be rebellious towards my parents and caught up in the world. I want to use my life to be a life giver, encourager, and be a blesser. You grab the hold of your wife's hand. You're struggling. You said some things you shouldn't have. You run to the altar and say, God, change our hearts. Teach me my ways. Break me down, Lord, and build me back up how you want me to be. God's here. His presence is good. He wants to touch you and heal you. Would you stand with me in God's presence this morning?